Morning, Ireland, 13 minutes past eight. And while the world averted its gaze and watched first Israel and then the United States send its missiles and bombs to Iran, Israel continued its bombardment in Gaza. Over 400 people have been killed by the Israeli military while trying to reach aid sites. Since the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, this Israeli-US-backed food delivery aid project, began working late last month. 65 people killed yesterday, according to the Hamas-run health ministry, several of them waiting on aid. At a meeting of EU leaders yesterday, there was a unanimous call for a ceasefire in Gaza, while the Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez became the latest member state to describe the situation there as a genocide. Earlier, I spoke to Dr. Mohamed Abu Magaisaib, the Deputy Medical Coordinator with Médecins Sans Frontières. He's based in Al-Muazi, south of Khan Yunis, and he first told me about his daily personal and working life.
I mean, since the 7th of October, unfortunately, our life completely changed. We were forced to be displaced, to evacuate our home in the north of Gaza. And we sheltered in the middle area for a while with my family. And last year, February, I was among the luckiest in Gaza that I managed to evacuate my family, my wife and my kids to Cairo. And now I am alone in Gaza, working still with MSF, trying to support the health collapse, health structure. Actually, it's a fragile, it was a fragile health structure before 7th of October. But with this collapsed health structure now, we're trying to fill gaps and try to support as much as we can with different activities from different level of healthcare.
How difficult is it now to deliver healthcare to people in Gaza?
It's ongoing 24 hours, over seven airstrikes, bombing. There is no safe area, no safe zone, no humanitarian zone, as they mentioned during this war, that you can function normally in this humanitarian zone, because everywhere in Gaza could be a target. Second, I mean, the exhausted health team, I mean, the Palestinian colleagues who are working with MSF are part of the population. They are totally exhausted. They have families. They are displaced as well. They are seeking water, seeking food for their kids. So they are living this daily challenge as well, but they are still delivering care to the patients and injured in the hospitals. In addition, of course, to the psychological trauma that, let's say, 100% of the population of Gaza are facing, and lack of supplies. I mean, there is huge lack of supplies, medical supplies, which are in Gaza. And it was actually a chronic issue before 7th of October, the lack of medicine and disposable. And with this war and with this closures of the borders and limited access to this supply, you know, the situation is really difficult. So I thought during this war, we treated patients without painkillers, without anesthesia. We operated on them. We are operating on the ground. We are treating patients on the ground. And at that time now, due to the severe closure and lack of a lot of items and supplies, doctors are just doing consultation without treatment because there is no more treatment to give.
Have you personally as well seen these queues for food at the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation and the attacks that have taken place on people queuing for food at these centres?
I mean, I'm speaking to you now and, I hear the shooting because I'm very close to the distribution point in the south of Gaza. So, and I know that today there is distribution because there is shooting that can be heard. So since they opened the four distribution points in Gaza, first of all, you have to go. I mean, the population are obliged to come from the north to these distribution points in the south. It is not organized. People with disability cannot really reach this. There is no schedule. It's not organized at all. So you go early morning, people go, hundreds of thousands of people go early morning to book their place and to be the first. They are shot. And if they go late, they are shot, because it's actually the distribution points are in the red zone, what we call a red zone. It's a military zone. And if they go at time, I mean, it's a chaotic situation there. I mean, people fight to get their food. So, I mean, every day there is an average of 100 between injured and killed people who are going to these distribution points. So it's really a distribution death, not food.
Do people still go there despite the risk of death and injury because they're hungry?
It didn't stop. People are still going. They go camp early at night to be the first. I mean since March, the broke of ceasefire. I mean, the closure of the border. There is no supplies, no food, no water, no medical items. I mean, the people reached really. I don't want to feminine, but they reached a starvation, acute hunger stage. I mean, you know, things that I just saw in movies. I mean, in science fiction movies, the how the people are suffering. I mean, there is nothing in the market, no food. So when this distribution point, I mean, this way of using a distribution food point as a kind of weaponization, really, to the population. The population is hungry, so they are going, and they, even if they are shot every day, still people are going.
Did the attacks diminish at all during those missiles firing back and forth between Israel and Iran, and then eventually the American bombing last weekend?
The ground military operation in Gaza, I mean, was on continuing. I mean, the evacuation orders, the bombing, shelling, it was the same. It didn't change. But I mean, I think the media at that time was more focusing on what was going between Iran and Israel, and didn't take any kind of attention Gaza at that time.
And we saw yesterday at a gathering of European Union leaders in Brussels, the Spanish Prime Minister becoming the latest European Union leader to call the situation in Gaza a genocide. What more do you want to see from the European Union and from other world leaders?
I think to have more really pressure on the Israeli side and the allies of Israeli side to stop and end this really devastating massacre that's ongoing. I mean, whatever genocide, now saying it or not saying it, I mean, you just, you know, 17,000, more than 17,000 children have been killed during this war. I mean, that's enough. That's, you know, just give the numbers of the really innocent and children and women had that been affected, the elderly. I mean, it's not Hamas. I mean, it's not really the retaliation of the 7th of October, I mean, which we condemn. I mean, everyone, I mean, the majority of the population in Gaza condemn what happened on 7th of October, and they were not part of the 7th of October planning or the. But the retaliation is now beyond the 7th of October. I mean, it's you know, we more than 50,000 people have been killed, majority children and women and innocent people, not Hamas fighters or Hamas group. The infrastructure has been destroyed, schools, universities, kindergartens. There is no streets anymore. The roads are destroyed. I mean, houses, 60% of the houses are completely demolished in Gaza. There is no even signs of life, I mean, that can be, even if tomorrow the ceasefire or they will end the war. I mean, Gaza will need 20 years to go back before 7th of October. So the situation really is beyond catastrophic, let's say. It's horrible to do. There is no word to describe it.
And your family is in Egypt. You're working in a war zone. How long more can you go on?
I started to feel. I mean, I would like to unite now with my family. I'm wishing that soon I can unite with them. I mean, it's. I'm trying to do my best here, but at moment I'm not a machine. I'm as well. I'm feeling exhausted from the that there is no hope. I mean, we had hope. And during the new year that it would end, during Ramadan, during, you know, the feast of after Ramadan, you know, we said, okay, there will be a ceasefire at the end of the war. But I mean, it's more now than 600 days. It's every day getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, when you see people standing in queues to fight for water, I mean, that's enough. I mean, that's really enough. I mean, I'm as well exhausted, and I wish that it will end and I can unite with my family.
Dr. Mohammed Abu Mugaiseeb talking to me a little earlier from Gaza. 22 minutes past 8.